Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 93 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled The Accident. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hey guys, thank you so much for downloading, listening to, or subscribing to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. And specifically this episode, episode 93, The Accident. I'm just going to let you guys know off the top that this episode, I think it'll be a relatively short one, although I said that last week when I was recording last week's episode, but it ended up being about 37 to 40 minutes. But I do believe this episode will be short, but I just wanted to put this out for and be transparent and hopefully be helpful to someone who's listening or lend a word of encouragement or give somebody the courage to finally face some things that maybe they've been afraid of facing for fear of the answer. So I want to start out by going back about a year and some change, maybe even a year and a half. I don't think quite a year and a half, definitely a year. So for the past year or so, I have not been feeling my best pretty much every day. There's always been like pain, whether it be like heartburn, stomach pain, headaches, just any type of pain, I haven't really been feeling my best. And, you know, every once in a while you tell someone, oh, yeah, I don't feel good, but I'm okay. And I didn't like feeling that way because I've always thought of myself as a healthy person. No matter whether if weight was up or weight down, I just truly helpful. If the weight's up, we can get it down. If it's, well, it's never been too low, but you know what I mean. Just running and going to the gym. And sometimes I would be on it, like focused, running, gym. Sometimes you fall off, you know, such is life. But I never had an issue going to the gym doing 75 minutes on the Stairmaster. And lately, going to the gym can barely get through 20. You know, used to doing 70 minutes or 40, 45 minutes on the elliptical. And lately, after 20 minutes, I'd have to stop and catch my breath. And there were times, I normally do the free weights when I, on days I do weights. But a couple of times I've been doing the sit down weights as far as the leg press and all that because I've been tired and I have literally fallen asleep on the gym machines quite a few times. And I'm thinking, oh, it's because I came late, late being 11 o'clock a.m. You know, like I was considering that late. Wasn't sure what was really going on, but I felt within my body that something wasn't right. But I could Google and see getting tired at the gym and they say, oh, it might be this. So do this or go get a vitamin a B12 shot that will help kick in your energy. And lately, last month, I came home like three or four times from driving for Lyft. I normally get up 3:30 in the morning, go out because I like the morning rush, and then I'm done going about the rest of my day. But I've had to come home. One time it was 9:30 a.m. One time it was about 10. One time it was about 11, and sit down. Take a nap. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm just tired. And I'm passing it off as being tired because I get up so early. And of course, I was experiencing heartburn, taking Nexium. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's just what it is. And I wasn't even associating it with getting older because there's young people that have heartburn. There's young people that get tired. And there's people older than me that have the energy to run marathons. So I'm not one to put age on it or say, oh, my body's getting this way because of age, because there are things that we can do to improve our health or what have you. So I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Inside, I was nervous because I knew I didn't feel right, but I didn't necessarily let other people know. Part of me was like, oh, I wish somebody could look into me and really see like just how bad you feel. But you know, you don't want to sound like a hypochondriac. And I've never been one for doctors running to the doctor's office because I never wanted to sound like or feel like a hypochondriac or look like one. But I was very careful to make sure that my kids went, you know, when they got a certain age, like, oh, let's make sure you're okay, blah, blah, blah. But never really, for me, did I take the time to really take care of myself. And people would say, well, why don't you go to the doctor? Husband, family, friends, you know, you need to go to the doctor, get this checked out. You know, that stomach pain, blah, blah, blah. You just need to get it checked out. And I would say, well, I have insurance, good insurance through Corey's job. However, I have to find another primary care doctor and I have to sit down and go through all the pages on the Blue Cross Blue Shield website. And I don't know when I'm going to have time, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And every time the stomach pains would come, they'd be so intense. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it when I get home. Never, I would never end up doing it. So, and there I was praying, God, you got to help me pretty much daily. God, help me. God, heal this heartburn. God, help me with this pain that's in my stomach, this pain that's in my body, this tiredness. Lord, I just need your help. So 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, October 12th, this past Saturday, I was minding my business, driving, and I was on Greenmount, headed towards Old York Road. T.D. Jakes was in town, and I was heading there, and all of a sudden, I hear a boom, like I can hear it now in my ears, and immediately heard the boom, the crash, and I flew forward in my head, literally felt like a rag doll, went forward and went back. I go back in my seat, and I'm like, and immediately I look over to my left, and I see cars pointing. And now I've already gotten hit. All I could think of, honestly, I was like, oh, they hit my baby. They hit my miracle, my car. Man, this is going to be annoying. So I look over and I see people pointing. One guy, he's literally pointing and his mouth is open, like in the O movement. And I said out loud, I mean, why are they pointing? They've never seen anybody get rear-ended before. And then I look up in the rearview mirror and I see the gentleman that hit me, eyes wide open, like he's shocked. And I said, and why is he shocked? He hit me. Get out of the car. And I look and I say, oh, good. A cop witnessed it. Well, I hear the guy that hit me say to the cop, hey, man, you hit me. And the cop says, I know. I take full responsibility. I just want to make sure you're okay. Turns out a Baltimore City police officer rear-ended the car behind me. And in turn, that car rear-ended me. So I'm just annoyed. I'm like, I was going about my day, minding my business. And I had this interaction, this interruption. And now I'm a little bit irritated because I'm like, really, though? I was minding my business, Lord. Like, this couldn't have been avoided. I couldn't have been taken out of the mix. And then I thought, well, at least I'm not the one at fault. Baltimore City Police, that's on you. So he says he has to call down to his sergeant and call the Baltimore City Police Accident Investigative Team. Now, as I'm doing this, I am realizing that I feel a bit foggy and my head feels a bit foggy, like I'm not here. Like, where am I? But then I'm like, you know what? I'll be fine. I just want my car fixed and fixed expeditiously, fast, in a hurry, like, you know, the same way we were hit. Shoulders feeling a little tight, sore, and I'm like, oh, this is wild. So eventually the investigators come down, they take the report. I let them know that I was feeling pain, but I didn't need an ambulance. And I was, like I said, I truly felt like I was foggy. And the gentleman that was hit first and then you hit me, he himself was like, man, do I have a headache? I don't know. I just feel out of it. I said, me too. It's just the craziest thing. And I don't even know if I said the reason that the people were pointing when I looked over and I'm like, have they never seen an accident before? It was they were pointing because it was the cop that caused the accident. So anyway, we get all the paperwork taken care of. So the Baltimore City detective, the investigative detective, makes it seem like we're going to get our reports for the accident that day. Every question we have, it's like, oh, it's going to be in the report I'm going to give you. Oh, I just need to finish the report, give it to you, and you'll be good to go. So I almost took a screenshot of the paper report he was writing out because I thought that's the report he was giving us because he really made it seem like that. Well, he, and I even asked him, what's the, I have your name, I have the sergeant's name, what's the officer that hit us, what's his name? Oh, it's going to be in the report I'm going to give you. So I say, okay. Well, he ends up putting the paperwork in his car and coming back over, and he goes, okay, so I got everything. And basically was dismissing us. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Now I need my car fixed quickly. You know, this wasn't our fault, you know. So where do we go from here? He proceeds to say, you go through your insurance, blah, 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 blah. And they'll contact us. And I'm like, And then I asked him something about the report. And he says, oh, well, it will be available online in a few days. And somebody said, well, can we take a picture of the paper report you just wrote? And he said, well, you can have it subpoenaed. And I said, no, they're not talking about having it subpoenaed. You made it appear as if we'd get a report today. So that really, I'll just really irritate, like, man, I don't believe this. So I leave the scene, call Geico, who's my insurance agent. And of course they say, you know, Ms. Faison, if you're not in a rush right now to get your car fixed, meaning like today, I wouldn't go through us, go through Baltimore City, you know, because they're responsible. And they said, we can help you, you know, we can, if they're not getting back to you or what have you, we will step in and do whatever. And I said, no, I think I got it. Thank you. I called the detective back that day and said, now listen, I talked to my insurance company. As a matter of fact, they said, you know that you shouldn't have referred us through our insurance company and to use our own. And he said, well, Baltimore City is self-insured, blah, 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 blah. I've got to go on a website, print paperwork, fill it out, take it down to the mayor's office, just all this stuff. So I was really frustrated. And I'm like, Lord, I already haven't been feeling good. Now, this is what I'm saying. I already haven't been feeling good. And I just don't feel like doing all this. And I was irritated. So every day, come Monday, I'm checking for the report. Week goes by, report still not online. My trunk doesn't really close. It doesn't have an airtight seal on it. So if it rains, we know it could happen. So in the meantime, I had to get estimates. So I go and get my estimates done, what have you. So I start feeling pain. Okay, one day, gradually a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And it got to the point where the pain was, and I voiced that I was in pain, but it's almost like you look within yourself and say, get yourself together. I know this is pain, but you still have a life to live. But I felt like Herman Monster, where they have the bolts on the side of the neck and somebody every day was just tightening the bolts and running on the side of my neck down my spine. At this point, I have to go see a doctor, right? Have to go see a doctor because this pain is like the most intense pain I've ever felt in my neck or my back, ever. So I'm like, ugh. So what do? I go to the Blue Cross Blue Shield website, trying to figure out which doctor. And I'm like, this is just annoying. There's all these doctors in my network, in my area. I happen upon a picture of a doctor and something about her smile. I'm like, you know what? She seems, from her picture, looks like she's open. Her smile just seems inviting. I'll make an appointment there. It's not far from where I live. And I'm going to tell them, since I'm there, everything else I have going on with me for like the last year. So I tell my husband, he says, well, are you going to tell them everything else you have going on? I say, yeah. Because prior to that, about 2 weeks before that, he said, have you made that doctor's appointment yet to figure out what's going on with you? I said, nope, not yet, but I'm going to. I just have to find a doctor. Well, with this pain, I had no choice. It's hurting to get in to drive, like to actually sit in the car and just regular drive. Everything is hurting. So I call this doctor and I was placed on hold. For, you know, they finally pick up. It rang so many times. They placed me on hold. And then the phone kept doing like a ring back. I promise you, it was about 3 minutes because I looked at the time and I was like, you know what? Mm-mm. And I hung up and I said, I'll find another one later. But later on that day, I just felt like I needed to go to that doctor. So I tried it again. They answered. I got an appointment for it the next day. Go in. Super nice, wonderful people. They gave me an appointment time. About 45 minutes have gone by and it's only me and one other person in the waiting room, and then they go in. And, you know, my back is starting to hurt because I'm sitting there and I'm going to sleep. I'm literally, it's like 11. Actually, it was about an hour because my appointment was at 10 and it wasn't until like 11 that I got seen. But I have I was falling asleep and my phone had fell out of my hand. That's how gone I was in the waiting room. So I jump, I wake up. Mind you, I don't have anywhere to go that day, that afternoon. I walk up to the desk and I say, hi, can I ask how much longer it will be, because I may have to come back. Now, mind you, I'm there. Nothing else to do that day. I'm in pain. But I also know that I have to go in there and be honest about everything that I have been feeling health-wise. And like I said, I've always really felt like I've been strong as an ox. Like, legitimately, I felt like I could do anything. The Ironman, the triathlon. Now, I can't swim, so I'd have to do, you know, bike, run, bike, something like that. But just, I felt like I'm strong enough to do anything. I remember when I did my first half marathon, people thought I couldn't do it. I did it, then did it again the second year, killed it, for me anyway. My time was pretty good. And then the third year, got a little cocky, thought I didn't have to train as much because I had done it, but I still completed it. So I always felt like, give me a couple weeks, whether it's if I wanted to drop some pounds or just get healthier and I have fallen off the wagon, give me a couple weeks, I'll be back on. I got this. But I just, it just wasn't all coming together. So when I went up to the window and said, I may have to come back, in my mind, I knew that I didn't really just want to face what could be possibly going on with my health. So the lady says, I am so sorry. I promise you, it is never this behind. We normally don't have patients wait any longer than 10 minutes. They take me back for my blood, right? And they draw my blood. And I just end up telling, and I love the nurse that's in the office. I ended up just telling her everything. I told her about the accident, the pain I was having. And I said, and by the way, I've basically eaten a bag of Tums every day for the last year. She said, what? Shut up, girl. And then she was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, but I can't believe you. Your butt should have been in here. So we're laughing. And I was like, listen, I'm immediately bonded to you now because you have a sense of humor. So we're laughing. Go back out in the waiting room. Finally, they call me back and they're apologizing. They're like, oh my God, you want the doctor's lunch? Are you hungry? Just, you know, being really funny. The female doctor comes in. We're talking. I tell her my symptoms as far as the accident. So she takes the information, has me stand up, pressing all over. And at one point I wanted to like legitimately jump on her desk because it was hurting so bad. And she says, okay, I feel X, Y, and Z. You definitely have to go get an MRI, blah, blah, blah. So I started telling her about my health issues. Basically, I've been eating a bag of Tums every day for a year. So we're talking. She says, okay, you need to get some blood work done. Once you get your blood work done, we'll go from there. If, you know, your blood level is low, then I'll send you, you're going to have to go to a specialist, blah, blah, blah. They're going to have to do an endoscopy, look inside, see what issues could be going on with your stomach. If nothing's going on there, then we have to do a colonoscopy because it could be, you know, a whole bunch of things, but like colon cancer, she just wanted to tell me everything, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised about anything. Okay, no problem. They have a lab on site, someone that does the lab work, and they get the results right then. I'm like, really? Like, I don't have to go anywhere else? Okay. Then she gives me the MRI paperwork. So I'm like, ugh, two more appointments I got to schedule. Really? So the technician is there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. What day was this? Actually, it was on a Thursday because I said, okay, I'm going to come back tomorrow for my blood work. Didn't go Friday. Didn't go that Monday. And I knew, and I called to schedule the MRI. They didn't have anything until November 6th. And then they said, well, they had November 1st. And I said, I can't do November 1st. I'll be in New York. I was going to be there with the kids. And I'm like, I didn't realize that till after I scheduled the November 1st MRI. So I'm like, ugh. Fine, I'll just call back and reschedule and see if they have November 6th open. Finally, last week, I go and get Wednesday and get my blood drawn. In and out, no problem. Can I get a B12 shot too? Because I'm really tired. Oh, okay, no problem. You can get one a month, blah, blah, blah. I know the routine. Fast forward to Friday, on my way back from New York with the kids. We had just got into the parking garage at the parking lot at the New Jersey Transit so I could come back home. Like, we're on our way back home. We had just got off the train. Get a phone call, and it's the doctor's office, and they say, you know, we got your blood results. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And then they, you know, proceeded to tell me that my blood count was low, was extremely low. I needed to take an iron supplement, blah, 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 blah. But now I have to go see this specialist so they can see what's going on. I say, okay. How late is your office open today? They tell me what time, but that doctor just happens to be in a different office, but it's so early in the day that I had to get to New York that I'm coming back early. I have time to swing by the office and get my results. Cool. Okay. Yay, Taria, one step forward for your health. In the meantime, the day before that, actually, the MRI people called. They could fit me in early. No, 2 days before that, they could fit me in early. So I ended up going to get, they could call to confirm my appointment for November 1st. I said, thank you. So this was the Wednesday, the same day I got my blood drawn, actually. I say, thank you for calling me. I forgot to call you guys. I can't do November 1st. I know your next available is not till November 6th. The lady says, no, we have something sooner than that. It was a different lady. They put me in for that very next day, Thursday. And she says, when she said, well, we have tomorrow, Thursday, I was like, and I almost said no, which was the 31st. And I said, yes, I'll be there. So I'm like, yay, look at me taking charge of my health. I don't know, like a year or so later. So anyway, I get the results of the blood test when I get back into Maryland and I'm Googling. Then I start looking at the numbers and I was like, no wonder. You know, they're basically, they're very low. And then what's supposed to be low is very high, some other things. So needless to say, I have to call and schedule this specialist or whatever. So I started praying like, Lord, you know, whatever is going on, I know you're here with me, blah, 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 blah. But I immediately thought all this time I had been praying and asking God to help me in terms of healing without ever going to see a doctor or anything. And I was thinking about the word help, how oftentimes we're like, Lord, you got to help me by healing me. You got to help me. And when I looked up the word help, it says to give assistance to. But if you're not doing anything, there's nothing to assist. And I'm like, man, this whole year and some change, I've been asking the Lord, help me feel better, Lord. Help me get my energy back. Help me get my strength back. I don't want people to know how bad I truly feel inside and that I was kind of like a little concerned and I was afraid to face what might be. So I'm asking the Lord to help me. When in reality, again, help means to give assistance to. So I was really asking him to rescue me, basically, because when you need to be rescued, you can't do anything for yourself. You need somebody to take you out of something or rescue you from it or bail you out. Here I was asking for the Lord to help me, to assist me, and I wasn't even assisting myself. And it took for my day to be interrupted. It took for the route that I had taken, the road that I was taking up Greenmount to Old York Road, minding my own business. I got interrupted and I had to go off the street and I was in an accident. So I was interrupted. And do I believe God caused the accident? No. Life happens. Life happens to all of us. Those of us who are believers are just fortunate enough to have a God that will help us through life. You know, God is not here to make life perfect, but he is here to give us strength to get through life. So do I think God caused the accident? No, but I do think he used it to get my attention. All things work together for good for those who are called. Okay, so all things work together for good. This accident, he didn't cause it. A Baltimore City police officer caused it. But guess what? It's going to work together for my good because the pain that I got from this interruption forced me to go see a doctor and get a full physical makeup, blood work and everything, only to find out there is indeed something going on. And now we can put a face to what, or a name to what's going on with me. So now if something were to come back, in a way that I didn't want it to, I could say, Lord, help me because I'm taking, you know, the steps to get myself together. And it was funny because when I called the doctor's office to let them know, hey, I got an earlier MRI appointment. I called and I had my professional voice on. They answer the phone and I say, good afternoon. This is Taria Faison. No, I didn't even say my name. Oh, yeah. Yes, I did. I did. So good afternoon. This is Taria Faison. I'm calling because I was instructed by the doctor to obtain a MRI from Advanced Radiology. And I just want to let you know that the appointment is X, Y, and Z. I didn't think the nurse knew who I was. And right before I hung up, she said, "Hey, Ms. Faison, I'm so glad you're taking care of your, I'm so glad you're doing what's necessary to take care of yourself." And I was like, even the nurse at the doctor's office, you know, when I look back now, you are like, man, you are simple. You should have been, you know, taking care of this. But I realized again, I didn't want to face what I thought it could be. I just rather pray and ask the Lord to help get me out of it without taking accountability and responsibility for what was going on in my body. So I'm like, that's crazy. It was just crazy. You know, I was asking God to reverse any effects that I did to my body when I did those things, you know, because some things maybe I contributed to, but I wouldn't know that because I hadn't gone to the doctor. And I find that sometimes we often will ask God to help us, to assist us, but we're not doing anything for him to assist. You know, we're asking God to help us and heal us and maybe even take away a temptation from habits that are literally doing damage to our bodies and literally killing us. You know, we're asking God to reverse any effects, any negative effects that's happening with our body while we're continuing with those habits that we know could be adversely affecting us. How crazy is that, that we're asking God to help us or deliver us or heal us from something that we're doing, but we continue to do it, you know? And the crazy part is I look around at my life and my family and people near and dear to me and Corey, you know, they're going home to be with the Lord. And when you first hear about their passing, you know, back in 2017, my grandmother passed away and I was very, very, very close to her. And then we had Corey's mom's brother pass away suddenly. And then we had two of his uncles pass away suddenly. This is all from like 2017. Then we had his father passed away suddenly in March. And just last week, his father's sister, his aunt, passed away. So you look at all this around you and we're still not taking accountability and doing the things that will help us stay here longer for our family. You know, we'll be at the funeral and in our minds, we're saying, God, I'm going to do better. I'm going to see about my health and make sure I'm okay. And then we're at the repast talking to family and we're like, man, can you believe this? You know, another death, but, you know, you're going to do better taking care of, you know, our family and blah, blah, blah. And then you're, you know, days or for weeks after you start thinking and you're like, you know, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to take care of my body, Lord. I'm going to be here for the ones I love and for the ones who love me, because ultimately everyone that has passed has left people behind that love them, that are mourning them. Because the mourning, you know, the sadness, it may get easier to deal with it, but the sadness never goes away. The wishing that they were here never goes away. And I realized that if I didn't take control of my health, even though the accident is what forced me to do it, now that I'm doing it, I realized, who knows? I could have not been around for my kids, because who knows the test I've already had done, if I had to just continue to just eat Tums for years on end, or continue to try to self-diagnose or drink apple cider vinegar and water mixed together and baking soda and water helping with heart, just any craziness that you find on the internet, these natural remedies, so to speak, who knows what harm or further harm that could have done to me. And I have people here who love me. You know, family, friends, again, my mom would tell me, your body gives you signs. Taria, you need to listen to your body, you know, before it's too late. And again, I look around and when you see that loved ones are leaving it, and you continue to do the things that you know could affect your being here, it's like, man, you got to get yourself together, you know. And we want to fast and pray and bargain with God to reverse the consequences of our bad decisions. How are we going to bargain with God or go on a 3-day fast or 2-day fast, a week fast, turn down a plate so God can heal what I don't even know what's really wrong with me because I won't go see. I just want him to reverse the consequences of any bad decisions that I've made that affected my body. And I realized with all this going on in the natural body, the same thing can be the same in the spiritual realm, and you know, in our spirit man, in our spirit body, in the way we take care of our spirit man. Sometimes we might take a hit in the spirit, sort of like the accident I had that forced me, the pain was so great that it forced me to go find the doctor to see about this pain and to be honest and address all the other issues. Sometimes in the spirit, we'll take a hit so hard, a pain, and we'll experience a spiritual pain that literally can take us to our knees, but it also opens up and exposes other areas that we're vulnerable in if we haven't been taking care of our spirit and recognizing that we weren't actually taking care of our spirit. You know, sometimes we try and self-diagnose what's going on with us spiritually instead of going to God and asking him to show us, to reveal to us what is really going on. Why do I feel spiritually sick? Why do I feel like prayers are not being answered? Why do I feel like I'm stuck in where I am and not moving forward? Why do I feel like chaos could be happening with my child? Why do I feel like chaos could be happening in the marriage? Why do I feel like chaos could be happening in my ministry at church? Why do I feel like things all around me are just chaotic and I just feel spiritually weak? But see, sometimes we won't go and lay on our face, lay prostrate, or sit by ourselves with just us and God in the quiet and say, God, show me what's going on. We don't do that because just like I was afraid to really face the fact that, hey, right now I may not be that healthy, but I can get there. Sometimes we're afraid to see what God will truly show us and reveal to us. We don't want to see that we're spiritually sick. And sometimes it's our own doing, or sometimes it's who we've decided to become connected to. Sometimes who your soul is tied to, who you allowed to be tied to you. You know, and we certainly aren't taking the time to analyze our spiritual diet, because the truth is we don't want to give up what tastes good to our spirits, even though it could eventually make us sick. In the natural, the doctor may tell you don't eat fried foods, or you can eat fried foods maybe once a week, or for a period of time you need to come off of sweets. You don't want to hear that because it tastes so good going down. And it's like that with us spiritually. Sometimes you like what you're tasting and you don't want to give up whatever sin it is that tastes so good to you. The temptation is so great. You just want to wake up one day and God has taken it away. And he's like, no, I will assist you, meaning you've got to take some steps too, but the sin just tastes too good. Even though I know it could eventually make me sick, I'll just pray it away. So we think. You know, just like what we eat in the natural can cause sickness, what we eat spiritually will have the same effect on our spirit. So we need to think, just like we have to think about what we're putting in our bodies naturally. Are we putting in foods and nutrients that are going to give us energy, going to sustain us? Are we getting our iron to keep our iron levels high? What are we eating? It's the same thing with our spirit man. We've got to be careful of our spiritual diet. What are we allowing into our spirit? Are we eating from the bread of life, the word? Or are we just reading it out of daily routine? I know many times I've been there. You know, my scripture of the day comes up on my phone. I read it. Then I try to remember it. And if I don't remember it, I'll pick my phone back up on and read it again. It's a little game I play with myself. I read it again, put the Bible down and say, now what did the scripture mean? And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I draw a blank. And I just read that scripture of the day. So I pick it back up and I realize sometimes instead of really eating and digesting the bread of life or the word, we're just reading it out of routine, but we're not allowing it to fill us up. It's just out of routine. Like I said, if you said yes, that's me sometimes. Guess what? I've been guilty of that a lot of times. And it dawned on me like reading the word without ingesting the word and letting it fortify us, it won't help us to keep our spirit man healthy. I mean, that would be like us going to a restaurant. Let's say you go to a restaurant, right? Sit down at a table and say, can I see the menu? You read the menu, then you give the menu back to the waiter and you get up and leave without eating. You're still hungry, right? Because you haven't ingested it. You see that the food looks good. You see that, oh, if I get that porterhouse steak, that'll be the iron I need. I'll get a side of mashed potatoes and I'll get some string beans and a salad. And I think that'll fortify me. No, we're not even ordering it. We're just seeing it, reading it on the menu, but we're not ingesting it. So it's done nothing to satisfy our hunger or fortify our natural man. Just like in the spirit. If we're just out of habit reading a scripture of the day or feel convicted, oh, I haven't been in my word, let me say a quick prayer, or let me say a prayer, or you get in a situation and you're like, Lord, I know you can deliver me from this, or I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, or you're speaking the word, speak things that be, all these things you're just doing routine, but you're not ingesting the word. So you're still starving. You're still malnourished. Your spirit is still malnourished, which could then cause other side effects to your spirit man. You know, and if we're not just reading the word out of routine and just getting through it to say we've done it or to feel good about ourselves, sometimes we're feasting on the presumed sweetness of the world only for it to turn bitter in our mouth and be of no nourishment to our spiritual body. Because again, sin tastes good, right? So you're feasting on it like this is sweet, only for it to turn bitter in your mouth. And that could be doing all sorts of things to your spirit, man. Sort of like in the natural, if you're just feasting on sweets and salty snacks and sodas and never eating a piece of a salad or a piece of a healthy carb or drinking any type of water, that won't sustain us in our natural body. And we end up doing that very same thing to our spirit, man. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we putting in our spirit? Then, you know, life happens and an accident again interrupts you on your journey and you think, Lord, why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen? But again, God will use the accident to force you to face other issues that you haven't faced because you have to. You have no choice now. You've experienced something catastrophic and now you want to fall to your knees and lay prostrate and get in your word. But you're also going to have to face some of those other things that you didn't want to face or deal with spiritually. If you're married, you know, have you and your spouse come together and pray and to get in God's word together? Have you done that? Just like when I was feeling not so good in my body, you know, Corey would say, hey, have you made the appointment? Hey, have you made the appointment? Kept saying it over and over again. And to the point where I'd be thinking, I wish he would stop asking me, I'm going to make the appointment. But he clearly knew I wasn't making the appointments. So he would ask. And I'm glad he did. So spiritually, when you see your spouse is maybe a little low spiritually or things just are chaotic in the house, have you gone to your spouse and said, hey, when's the last time we prayed together? When's the last time we read the word together? When's the last time we had Bible study together? When's the last time you've done that to take back authority over your household and those living in your household? Again, if one of you has noticed the other seems to be spiritually out of sorts or down, have you checked in with them, reminding them that we serve a God who sits high but can surely reach down low to wrap us in his healing embrace? The same way, again, you would remind them to go see a doctor if they were physically down. Like after I made my appointments and got my results back and now have to call again another doctor to have another test done. And in the meantime, I'm waiting for my MRI results. Thought about Corey, my husband. I'm like, you know what? This doctor is going to be your doctor too. And I've already scheduled him appointment and brought him home the paperwork to fill out for his appointment to get a physical makeup, you know? But have we done that with our spouse, covered our spouse like that in the spirit? Have we got the Bible down off the shelf and blew off the dust or even picked up our phone and instead of being on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and anything else, have we went to the Bible app and said, let's have Bible study. Let's strengthen our spirit, man. When is the last time you've done that? You know, are you feeling spiritually tired and run down, almost as if you're like sleepwalking through your now half-hearted attempts to continue on trying to operate in the gifts and talents and ideas that God gave you and trying to do it on your own? You know, because you're like, oh, God gave me this gift. God gave me this talent. But you're feeling spiritually tired. Or again, you're feeling tired and run down in your ministry. So you're making a plan. All I got to do is X, Y, and Z. When Matthew 11, verse 28, NIV reads, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you gone to him? Is your posture towards God saying that you got this on your own, you got your own plan, instead of your posture showing him that you are totally and completely dependent on him while having complete faith in him? What is your posture towards him? I had to ask myself these same questions, you know, again, after the accident, you know, these last 3 weeks dealing with the accident, dealing with the repercussions of the accident, and now dealing with the repercussions of me not keeping myself accountable to good health or accountable to going to the doctors to get regular physicals, you know, to see that my body's giving me a sign and going to the doctor and saying, hey, this is going on. I'm not sure why. I mean, again, anytime I'm falling asleep at the gym on the machine or can barely get through 20 minutes, that's a problem when for me, that's not normal. But I was afraid of what I would see when I went to the doctor and got the results. And now that I have the results, and again, still waiting for the MRI results, it's almost like it's a relief taken off of me. Like, I can almost admit, yes, I wasn't my best, but now I'm making strides to get there. Spiritually is the same thing. Sometimes we'll get around folks that we think are spiritually healthy, so we won't say, hey, I'm feeling spiritually run down. I'm feeling sad. What is it that I can do to get spiritually healthy again? Because we're afraid that they'll say, oh, I don't know, because I'm good. And then again, we don't go to God because we're afraid to really face what he might show us. So, like I said, I ask myself these questions. Now that I'm dealing with the natural side, it's time to get the spiritual side in check. Because I had fallen off with the spiritual exercise, if you will, or the spirit, or doing things to keep my spirit in its healthiest place. And so now I'm asking you guys that are listening to do the same. Ask yourself these questions, really. Ask yourself, what is the state of your spiritual health? And do you realize that your spiritual health, it doesn't just affect you, but it affects everyone that you encounter? Because to put it in the natural terms, when you have a loved one that's sick and then they pass on, it affects everybody that loved that person, everybody who's left behind. So understand that if you're proclaiming that you are a Christian and you're in God's army and you represent him and blah, 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 but you're spiritually sick, there's a person who's not saved and whose spiritual immune system is not strong. So here you are spiritually sick and now you've affected them. Guess what? You know how to recover. They don't. So is your spirit man in a healthy place? And do you realize that if it's not, you could be affecting others that you come into contact with almost daily? And while you're asking yourself this question, don't fool yourself or delude yourself into thinking you have all the time in the world to get your spirit man healthy. You don't. Just like in the natural, you could be here one day and be gone that afternoon. I'm sure we've all experienced loss, that kind of loss in our lives. So you don't always have the time that you think you have. You know, what may start out as you doing less Bible study and having less fellowship with God can end up causing you to be cut off from God and to become spiritually dead. And we have to remember that even a minor illness can become life-threatening if untreated. So ask yourself, are you spiritually healthy? Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and listening to Tales from a Butterfly, episode 93. Now go to either iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, radio.com, and any other place podcasts can be found, and type in Tales from a Butterfly to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Also, share the podcast with friends, family, coworkers, and the girl that you see every weekend at Sally's or CVS at the hair store. And also, please share it on your social media. Speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, Instagram TS Faison, and on Facebook, Tales from a Butterfly. And butterflies, no matter how far off track your spiritual health gets, completely turn everything you're carrying that is making you spiritually sick over to God and have faith that God will restore your soul. And I want you to remember, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Fly on, butterflies. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.